Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that we consider this evening is the gospel appointed for this Maundy Thursday, recorded in Mark chapter 14. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is God's word. Have you been there? Have you stood at the deathbed of a loved one as they took their final breath? Have you been there spending those hours with them in the waning hours of their life to show them love and support, to hear any final words of advice and encouragement that they might have for you? Those moments can be precious and meaningful moments, moments that you treasure, moments that you remember for the rest of your life. It's a Thursday evening in Jerusalem. And Jesus' friends have gathered around him just hours before his death. They don't know it yet, but he does. And he wants them there. He wants them close to him. He wants to share these moments with them before he goes to the cross. He wants to celebrate the Passover with them one more time. And he wants to give them a gift that only he could give. It's good for you to be here tonight, too. Jesus wants you here. He wants you there at his deathbed to hear him speak his last will and testament. So come close. Watch carefully. Listen carefully to your Savior, your Lord. Jesus and his disciples have gathered to celebrate the Passover together one last time. Jesus has made arrangements for everything so that everything is just right. He's reserved a room in Jerusalem, an upper room, up away from the street where there won't be the noise and the distractions that there might be on the lower level. He sends Peter and John ahead to make preparations. He doesn't tell them exactly where the room is, but he does give them clues that would help them find where that room was that he had reserved. Perhaps he does this so that Judas, who would betray him, wouldn't betray him earlier that evening and so interrupt this precious time that he wanted to have with his disciples. Peter and John follow his instructions, and they find the room just as he had said it would be, all furnished and ready. They go and they buy the lamb for the Passover. They take it to the temple, and there the priests sacrifice it before the altar of the Lord. And then they roast it. They make preparations of all of the other items for the menu that were prescribed by the law of Moses or by Jewish tradition. And when everything is just right, everything is ready, Jesus and his disciples come for the Passover. As Jesus arrives, he leads them through all of the rituals of the Jewish Passover. A cup of wine is passed around the table, and they all drink from it. Then Jesus washes their feet, a show of humility, a show of tender, loving servant leadership. They eat bitter herbs to remind them of their slavery back there in Egypt. And Jesus retells the story of that first Passover, when God had miraculously rescued his people from their slavery in Egypt and brought them safely to the promised land through that dramatic night back there in Egypt. Another cup of wine is passed around and they drink from it. And then they eat unleavened bread dipped into bitter herbs. And finally, they eat the meat of the Passover lamb that had been prepared. Sometime in the middle of all of this, Jesus makes a startling statement. He says, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Could it really be? Yes, Jesus' enemies want him dead, but really, could one of those who were there eating the Passover with him, one of that close circle of followers and friends, could they be in it too? Could they truly betray Jesus? Now, only Judas Iscariot, who would betray Jesus later that night, knew that it was specifically him that Jesus was talking about. But all of the other disciples couldn't help but think that Jesus could just as well have been talking about them. How easily they could have fallen into the same trap. How easily they could have turned their back on him. And Mark tells us they were saddened. And one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." Like us, those disciples will face temptations to turn their backs on Jesus. Like us, it is God's grace and God's grace alone that will keep them from falling away from Jesus and turning their backs on him completely and suffering eternally. Jesus' prediction, what Jesus said about being betrayed by one of them, hits home for them, and no doubt it echoes through their minds throughout that evening. At least until Judas showed up with the soldiers to hand Jesus over to his enemies. Yes, Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. And he knew the hearts of his followers. He knew how often their thoughts had betrayed him and how easily their words and their actions could turn against him. And he wanted them to take an honest look at them, their souls, and to see the ugliness of their sin there. In fact, this kind of soul searching, this kind of self-examination was so important for what Jesus would do next. After Judas went out into the night, the Passover rituals came to an end, the meal came to an end, And then Jesus did something completely new. Mark reports, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. You've heard these words dozens, if not hundreds, of times in your life. Do they ever become too familiar, too expected, too ordinary? Do you ever find yourself just going through the motions as you receive this supper that your Savior has prepared for you? Does it become a mindless ritual? Do you ever come forward by force of habit, not really stopping to be amazed at what a precious gift your Savior is giving to you? Tonight, Jesus invites you to his table to sit next to him, to hear his words, to receive what he is about to give you. He wants you to watch and to listen carefully. And so he gives you a place of honor at his own table, right next to him, where you can see and taste and touch what is happening. You can see and taste and touch his beautiful gift for you. The setting here at his table is an intimate setting. Only those who trust in Jesus are invited to this meal. This is a meal for believers. As Jesus gathers around the table with his disciples, he pulls you close to hear what he has to say. And he says, "Take it. This is my body. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." What is Jesus doing? He's reading his last will and testament. He knows he is about to die. Within 24 hours, his lifeless body will lie in a cold, dark tomb. And he knows how his departure will affect his followers, and he wants to give them something. Although he is their king, he does not leave them palaces or rich clothing. Although he is their brother, he doesn't leave them real estate or family heirlooms. He leaves for them the only thing he has. He gives them himself. His own body and blood. Perhaps you have a photo album or a scrapbook that reminds you of a loved one who has been called home to heaven. And as you page through that, you think of all of the memories of that person, and maybe there's a sense of sadness that comes over you as you miss them. Jesus did much better than that. For us, he left us more than just happy memories or stories. Jesus left us with his own body and blood. You see, Jesus knew what we needed. He knew that our minds would wander even as we are receiving the precious promises of his word and his sacraments. He knew that our hearts would wander from the path of love that he has clearly laid out for us in his word. He knew that in the pressures of this world, we would do and say things that would compromise our faith and even deny our Savior at times. As you think about it, he knew that we would be no better than those 11 men seated at the table with him that night, all of whom fled in fear into the night. Just hours later, he knew that we would need his forgiveness, that we would need his strength.
And so in this intimate setting, gathered around his table, he gives us just what we need. He gives us himself. He gives us the body that he himself sacrificed on the cross as the perfect Passover lamb. He gives us the blood that met God's demand for justice as it ran off his back and down that rough and jagged cross. With his body and his blood, he gives us the forgiveness that comes with that body sacrificed for us, that blood shed for us. With his body and his blood, he forgives our wandering minds and our wandering hearts. Because in his heart and his mind, he stayed perfectly on the course that his Father had laid out for him. With his body and his blood, he forgives our compromises and our denial of him, because he never once compromised the truth, and he never once denied his Father's name. With his body and his blood, he forgives the sins we know about and the sins that we don't even notice anymore. This meal that our Savior gives to us, it doesn't look like much. It looks like ordinary bread and wine, not even enough to quiet a growling stomach. Perhaps we wish Jesus had given us something more, something bigger, something more impressive, something with more visible power, something with more that grabs more attention. But in his last will and testament, Jesus gave us more than we could ever ask for, more than we could ever deserve, the perfect gift that we needed, the gift of himself, with the forgiveness, life, and strength for living that comes with it. So tonight, come near the table and receive what your dying brother wants to give to you. Because he knew he was going to die, because he knew he was going to rise, he gave us his body and his blood. It's a gift so incredible, so glorious. Its comfort and its strength cannot be matched. Its value cannot be measured. The Lord's Supper is exactly what Jesus says it is, given for you, poured out for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, a precious gift from your Savior. Amen.